precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. My Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I'll bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, and when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. My Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. And Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. And taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, Lord, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, and when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. My Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And Jesus, Lamb. Jesus, Lamb of God, and Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know. Thus saith the Lord. And Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. And oh, how sweet trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing blood. Oh, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet, hallelujah, to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest. Yes, Lord, joy and peace. Everybody sing, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. And Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. How many are glad? And I'm so glad that I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art. And I'm glad, Lord, will be with me till the end. Hallelujah, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. And Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust. Sing that one more time. Everybody sing, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. And hope for grace to trust him more.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. He's worthy of all praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer requests, testimonies, but how many would just say, Lord, I have need of you this morning. Amen. We have Brother Gabe's with us this morning, but we know we can only get as much as we give back. Amen. We want to pull on that word today, amen. But how many just would have a need from God today? Just gonna ask Brother Dustin if he'd come make his way up, amen. Amen. Also pray for the tithes and the offerings. And also pray for our Pastor Cam as he travels back as well, too, and their service to go well. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just ask, Lord, that you just forgive us, Father God, for the sins,
yes,
the wrongs, Father God, we may have done, Lord Jesus. Well, Father God, cleanse us just now, Father God. Lord Jesus, cleanse this place, Father.
Amen.
Father, we just ask that your Spirit just dwell amongst us this morning, Lord Jesus. We ask, Father God, that you just bless the speaker this morning, Father God. Help Brother Gates move out of the way, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we also ask Father right now for the prayer request and on the people's hearts, Father God.
Yes,
you know
Lord.
Each individual need this morning, Father God. We pray that you just minister to it this morning, Lord Jesus. God, we also ask that you just bless our pastor, Lord, as he's out, Father God. Preaching somewhere else, Father God. We just ask that you just help him, Father God, just to step aside, Lord.
Amen.
Oh God, we just ask also, Father, for the tithes and the offerings, for the furthering of your kingdom, Lord. We just love you and we praise your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing that song, We're Together Again. Amen. How many know that wherever two or three are gathered, that Christ promised there he'd be in the midst? Amen. And if we're looking for his presence, amen, I'm sure he'll be glad to be with us. Amen.
Amen. We're together again. We're just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. We're just praising the Lord.
One more time.
And we're together again. We're together again, we're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. We're just praising the Lord.
Amen. 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 We'll just sing that song again, but we have a special from the Sunday school if they want to come as we sing that song one more time. We're together again. Amen.
Amen. And we're together again. We're just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together.
And
let's just sing that song we were just singing there. Yes, Jesus loves me. Amen. Amen. Not only the little children need to know that Jesus loves me, each and every one of us would need to know that every day. Amen. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible it tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, and they are weak, but He is strong. And yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates are open wide, and He will wash away your sin. Open up your heart and let Him in. And yes, Jesus loves me. And yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From His shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. And yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus loves me. Loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Now Jesus loves me. He,
yes, Lord.
Oh, close beside me. And I die. He will take me home on high. And yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus loves me. And yes, Jesus loves me.
Sing its last verse one more time.
And Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. And if I love Him, I won't die. He will take me home on.
Everybody sing,
yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, yes, Jesus loves me.
Hallelujah,
yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells, oh, and for the Bible tells me.
The Bible tells me so.
And for the Bible tells me so.
Amen. How many are ready for the word of God? Amen. Amen. How many come expecting today not to hear man, but to hear from heaven today? Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, only believe all things are possible as our brother Gabe prepares himself to come. Amen.
Amen.
How many believe today? Amen.
And only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only. And only believe. Only. And Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Things are possible. Jesus is here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise God. I love seeing Pearly White's first thing. Amen. Amen. Hey, sometimes you look out and you see nothing but frowns, you know. You think, oh boy, it's going to be interesting. So, praise the Lord. Amen. I believe we ought to be happy to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good to be with you this morning and greet you in the name of the Lord. And trust that something will be said this morning that will be a blessing to you. I mean, it has a need. Amen. Praise God. Let's just get right into the Word of God, if that'll be all right. Let's see. We that ain't going to work. Thank you, brother. Let's see here. Yeah, can you turn them lights out, brother? That'd be great. You don't need to see me anyways, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, we just want to send greetings to you from back home, Brother Craig, in the church, trust that Brother Cam bless his heart, man. I talked to him this week, and he said that got two services today, and he's thinking about driving back. Woo wee! I hope he changed his mind. So definitely be in prayer for him. Amen. I tell you, you know, it's, you know, sometimes they say, you know, a pastor's a full time. He's a pastor and full time. Well, I don't know a part time pastor. You're either a pastor or you're not a pastor, you know. But for Brother Cam to work a full time job and then pastor a church. You ought to you'll never know what that man goes through with working a full time job and then to have time for his family and then have time before the Lord and prepare something and seek God. It's one thing to have inspiration, you know, and something strike you and then you study it out. But it's another thing when you don't have inspiration and then you're trying to get inspiration, then you get to study it out. But you can't, at least for me anyways, I can't study unless I'm inspired because the whole Word of God's inspired. The message is inspired, but you have to be inspired. And so it's one thing for a preacher to study, but then it's another thing for a preacher to have the inspiration to study something with. And so I tell you, You ought to really be like Aaron and Hur that held up the hands of Moses. Praise the Lord. Come on. I got about three people that said amen. You ought to have an appreciation for the man of God that puts the work in that he does for this little church here. That's right. I really appreciate a man of God that does that. So you need to definitely have him high on your prayer list. Yes, sir. Praise God. But I just got a little thought this morning, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I downloaded Brother Simon's service last night, and was it 6 hours long? You had a service the other day, a couple Sundays ago, right? And so I downloaded it, and it's gonna go right along with his talk. So trust it'll be a blessing to you. I know it's been a couple services ago, but as I was listening to it, I thought, man, praise the Lord. So we got the same inspiration there, so to speak. He was saying some things that I thought, man, that'll go good with what we got, Lord willing, in the morning. So I trust it'll be a blessing to you this morning. We're going to read just a few scriptures. Oh, man, that looks good there. Nice and dark. You'll be able to see that all the way in the back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Woo! Amen. And such were some of you. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor rivalers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Woo! But, amen. Praise God. Ye are washed. Woo! Ye are washed from that fornication. Ye are washed from idolatry. You are washed from that adultery. You're washed from that fornication. You're washed from being effeminate. You're washed from being abused as a man themselves with mankind. You're washed from being a thief. You're washed from being covetous. You're washed from being a drunkard. You're washed from being a reviler. You're washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord, of our God. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also, who's he saying? Who's writing this? Paul. We. He didn't say you. He said we. For we ourselves, who's he writing it to? Titus. He's saying we, the church, the bride, we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, not just one lust. but a whole truckload. Divers, many. And pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful. Woo! Hateful. My goodness, some people in the message need to read that again. They still hateful. And hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which he had done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. That is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. He's wanting us to go over it. We went over it May 5th. Now we're going to go back over it again today. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Last scripture, I'll let you have your seats. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Woo! Can we raise our hands and praise God when we're in a tribulation? Can we give him glory when we're going through a trial? The Bible says we will. Also knowing that tribulation has a purpose because it's working patience. And patience is going to give you experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Notice, friend, there's a purpose in your tribulation. There's a purpose in it. And make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would not even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that when we were at our best and had a three-piece suit on and we was revelated that week, buddy, and God snapped a picture when you was on the mountaintop. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. I'd like to speak to you by the help of the Lord this morning on being justified. Being justified. Let's bow our heads. How many has a need? Precious Lord, we do love you. God, and my hands raised, Lord, I pray that you would speak to your children, Lord, this morning. Lord, you know I desire, Lord, for your word to come forth the way it's intended. Lord, that you would stir hearts, that you'd bring deliverance, that you'd help us, God, to be able to break this bondage, Lord, of in our mental minds, and Lord, our idea of ourself and the way that we see ourselves, God, that this little thought, Lord, would bring a lifting, Lord, and a clearing, God, in a freedom, Lord, that your word has promised that it would do. We yield to you, we love you and praise you, and we ask these things to be so in the name that's above every name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you like. Being justified this morning, and I would like to start off with a quote here, if that's all right. Brother Branham is tapping into this word of being justified. And he takes that scripture I read to you, Romans 5:1. Now watch what he says here. And I want you to notice the dates here that he's saying this on. 65, 11:25, 1 month, almost exactly a month before he leaves the scene. He says, your new life is in the Lamb's book of life, your marriage certificate, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Where's your germ begin? In the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. And that thing is with you always. That's right. And now watch what he says. That's right. He says, now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Glory, justified. Now watch. The prophet taps into Romans 5:1, that word. Watch what he says. Romans 5:1 said, yeah, Romans 5:1 said, therefore being justified by faith. Look up that word. The word don't mean forgiven. The word means justified. It don't mean you're forgiven. Come on, somebody. Watch what he says here, because we have such a problem with actually being able to fathom this concept of God's word. Right. For instance, you heard I got drunk and done some evil things and everything. Then you come around, you say to me, you found out I didn't do them. Then you come around and say, Brother Branham, I forgive you. Forgive me. I didn't do it. At the first place, see? Now, if I did do it, I'm guilty. But you could forgive me and I wouldn't be guilty. But yet I'm not justified because I actually done it. But the word justified is though you never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all to you. How is it done? How can these things be? It's God's book of sea of forgetfulness. Your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. You are justified. Amen. Therefore, being justified, it was accused. You was accused. You never done it in the first place. Some of you looking at me just like deer in the headlights. Saying what? Now, we can look, and in our own selves, we'll never be able to attain to this. Because as a concept, we deal with one another and we forgive one another, but we really cannot justify one another. Is that right? Come on, somebody. If Brother Freddie did me wrong, I cannot justify him because it's always in my memory. I can only forgive him, but I can't justify him because I am not built to do that. It may be 30 years, 50 years, if God would tarry and we get old and we get Cain and Cain and we're still in the house of God and he's barely plucking away on the guitar because he's about 80 years old and we may forget, but I may be on my deathbed and Brother Freddie come up to me and I see his face and that memory will pop up. Though it's been 80 years or 60 years or however long it's been. But that's not how we can think when we're talking about our own self, when God looks at us. Come on, somebody. Some of you looking at me like, yeah, right. But this is the word of God. Now that is where we have such a struggle. Remember, and I say this, how do you know you're forgiven? Because you forgive. How do you know? Because you are eternal in the mind of God. It's not just God forgives you, but he always has got it in his mind. God don't forgive you of all your filth and then wait till you're 5 years in the mess and then bring it back up to you and go, you remember when you did. Come on, somebody. This is God's holy word. This is the message of the hour. And mind you, this is kind of interesting. Brother Branham refers to this back in, as far as I can find, in 63 when he's talking about just being justified. But I thought it was really interesting when he uses the terminologies or the wording, you never done it in the first place. It's actually only three places that I found it in. And it's here in November of 65 and then twice in December. And I was talking to a brother about this, and when I told him about it, he said, oh, man, he said, it's kind of like Brother Branham going off the scene and going, leaving and going, you never done it in the first place. You never done it in the first place. You never, like he's going off the scene, and for whatever reason, three times in a month's span, he keeps hitting this to the bride. You never done it in the first place. You never done it in the first place. And he's getting ready to go off the scene. And this is a theme that he hits on in three different services. And he's telling us, you never done it in the first place. You never done it in the first place. Praise God. But we as humanity, we deal in a realm of being forgiven too much. And we end up taking that same thought and applying it to our own selves, looking at God and how he approaches us. Is that right? Come on, friends. We look and we think, but Brother Gabe, I did it. No, you didn't. You say, but Brother Gabe, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. We're going to pound it through till you realize, no, I didn't do it. Because if you still have that fear and that thought in the back of your mind of what you did, it'll never give you a freedom. It'll never give you a liberty that God wants to have. He wants you to have this kind of liberation. He wants you to have this kind of freedom. It's a scriptural principle. Brother Branham, remember, he's a word prophet, but he came to restore, not to bring something new. And it's actually a scriptural principle. You can follow that word justified all throughout the scriptures, but it's God all throughout his Bible. He goes over and over and over talking about the sea of forgetfulness and how God has the ability to forgive and forget. That's right. A very common one that we look at is in Micah 7:18. It says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in holding it against you for the right time. Because he delights in waiting till you really feel anointed and elected. He waits till you get to that mountaintop and then he brings it back and he goes, aha, what about this? Because our God delights in mercy. God What do you delight in? You got to have something that just brings you, that you delight. You're just so delightful to do. You know, if it's playing with the kids or being I delight in being a daddy. And have them moments where you just know your daddy. Right? It's fun. It's something you delight in. You take pleasure in doing it. Something that's given to you, but you love to give it back. And you delight in doing it. And God, what he delights in is mercy. He says, Psalms 103:10, he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I want to stop there for a minute because God hits the whole spectrum right there. Because remember, sins is something that we all do, whether you're a Christian or not. But iniquities is only for a believer. Because it's to know to do right and not do it. Or to do wrong, knowing you're doing wrong and do it anyways. Hello, somebody. But God says, I've not dealt with you according to your iniquities. Since you've been sitting in this church, God has not dealt with your iniquity. When you knew to do right and you didn't do it. God didn't deal with you after that. He says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he loosed, that's removed to loose, he's loosed us from our transgressions. He's removed our transgressions. Who did it? He did you? Did you do it? No. God did. God came down, friends, and untied you and said, you can go free. But too many of us have the Johnny Crow syndrome. How many knows about Johnny Crow? That's an old quote. I know it's before the seals. Maybe some of you don't even touch those. Praise the Lord. I think Brother Branham, you know, he didn't want to refer to God's children as crows. But anyways, that's another thought. But some of them have a Johnny Crow syndrome. Remember Brother Branham talk about that man that loosed that crow and he had been tied up so long that he didn't know when he was free, when he was free. God loosed us from our transgressions. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Come on, daddies. Oh, my, I got one sister, I got one mama to amen it. Come on, brothers, this is a scripture for you. As a father pitieth his children. Come on, daddies. What do we do as fathers when we see our children going wrong? I don't know about you, but I have the ability to look at them and have compassion towards them. I look at them, I'm like, man, it's really not their fault. I look at them, you know what I say? It's me. Yeah, I can see my mama. I can see my mama right there. That's how my daddy acts. That's how their grandpa acts. That's how their mama acts. That's how the grandpa acts on the mama's side. And so by that, I pity them because I realize it's not their fault. So maybe we do catch a glimpse of being justified. I never thought about that till just now. Because we have an ability, see, right, that's powerful, Brother Simon. We as fathers, we actually, if we have that kind of pity, we can justify them. We declare them righteous because as a father, I don't put it on their account. Because I realize that it's not their fault. They just grew up. They was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Come forth, and it's not their fault. Woo-wee! Woo! Amen! That's powerful, friends. Brothers and sisters, we, if we can have that type of, when we, and now listen, oh man, I'd love to write that down. That's fresh from heaven right there, buddy. My Lord. See, we have the ability to justify our children. Now, if we can think of that in a small, minute, very immature form, juvenile form, now magnify that by 100 billion, and you have some idea of what God thinks of us. Amen. See, he says, like as a father pitieth the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Notice he's not talking about, ooh, ooh, like God's up in heaven. No, sir. But God realizes when we have a reverential fear that we want to do right before God. I'm talking, listen, I'm talking, this is this message for the bride of Christ. I'm not talking about foolish virgin. Not preaching a foolish virgin. I'm talking about the bride of Christ right now, friend. I'm talking about those, the brother Raymond uses this terminology, he's talking about those that have the germ of God. That's elect seed. We're not talking about foolish virgin. We're not talking about we're talking about the elect of God. Right. They don't even come to the judgment. The Bible says they have boldness in the day of judgment. How can they have boldness? Because they ain't standing before the judgment seat, friend. That's why they have this boldness. They know that they pass from death unto life. He says, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. Notice, friends, God knows our structure. God knows how we're built. God knows how we act when the pressure's on. God knows how we're structured, that when the pressure comes on, we look to exit stage left. He knows that when the pressure's on and somebody does us wrong, we look to point at them and find out where they was wrong. Praise the Lord. God realizes that, and he remembers that we are but dust. Whew. Praise God. My Lord. Whew. 26 minutes. Watch what the scripture says. Hebrews 8. I got a timer here. That's why I said 26 minutes. My. Hebrews, watch this. Hebrews 8, 10 through 12, because it's not just an Old Testament thing. It's in the New Testament too. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. Ain't you glad he put iniquities too? Because, you know, we get the attitude that when we get, you know, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, we ain't supposed to have no more problems. Remember we had that concept? Some of you still got it. That's why you're looking at me like you ain't, can't raise your hand. You still got that concept. Like you ain't supposed to make no mistakes once you get the Holy Ghost. Huh? Like you ain't supposed to fall. Why'd he put iniquity in the Bible then? Come on, somebody. You got to break your idea. You have to break your conception of what you think Christianity is. Friends, I'm bringing you biblical principles. They just say what they say and they mean what they mean. He says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now I want to stop here because you can see in Hebrews 10 17 and 18, he says the same thing. But you know, we have a concept in our own mind that God uses this thought sparingly. Because he always runs out of grace when it comes to me. Come on, somebody. I ain't the only one. That's why you're chuckling. But Brother Simon, when we're having a conversation, and it's an important one, and I'm talking to you, and I really want to make sure you're getting it. You ever talk to somebody, and they kind of have that glazed over look, and you just kind of, you know you lost them? Remember? Say I'm talking to Brother Simon, and it just looked like he just kind of glazed over. I'm like, uh-oh, he ain't getting it. What am I going to do? Am I going to walk away and say, ah, forget it? No, if it's really important, I'm going to say it to him again. Because I want to make sure he's got it. Hebrews 8:10, two chapters later. Hebrews 10:17. Same book. He gives you a little space, and then what's he do? He gives you a refresher and says it again. Now, the problem of it is we'll read Hebrews 8 in February, and then we won't get to Hebrews 10 until August. Oh! Oh! But what's God doing? Why is he telling us twice? He's wanting us to have a witness. He's trying to tell us something. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of sin is, there's no more offering for sin. What's God wanting us to do, friends? It's not going through this same old legalistic of every time we make a mistake, we got to go get saved again. That's not the relationship, friend, God has with his children. We don't have to go get made over and become sons and daughters of God again every time we have a mistake. You was born a son of God. You was born I'm not talking about your new birth. I'm talking about when you came in this world, you was born a son of God. Praise God. I don't know about you, friend. I never was serpent seed. I don't know about you. Friend, I was always seed of God. I was always elect of God. I didn't become elect when I came to the message. Because I'm elected, I came to the message. Because you're elected, you came to the message. You was born seed of God. That's right. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. Don't put that serpent seed on me, but I wasn't serpent seed. Never have been, never will be. Praise the Lord. How breed that? Praise God. That's right, friends. That's what the message teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. But we got to get past our own ideas, because being justified is such a hard concept to grasp. You're not the first one to have to deal with it. Because in Acts 13, they had problems. The Jews had problems with believing it. Acts 13:38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that though this man has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Now, we have a hard time with that one. You know that? Because we have a mentality here on earth. Well, when you get in trouble, you have misdemeanors and you have felonies. You have a Class D misdemeanor, a Class C misdemeanor, a Class B misdemeanor. It keeps going up. You get a Class A misdemeanor. Then if you go beyond that, you go into the felony bracket. Then you go to a Class D felony, a Class C, Class B, and a Class A. Now, we as Christians, we come into this, and through our own mentality, the way we've been geared, the way we've been nurtured, through the society of life, we bring that same concept into the realms of Christianity, and we base the things that we do wrong as misdemeanors and felonies. And we go through life, no doubt, maybe years, where we know the blood is good for our misdemeanors. But I tell you, Brother Gabe, I got a Class A felony on my record I just can't get rid of. And that'll limit you in your experience with God. Let me ask you, Brother Biscoe said this when he was preaching. He said, he was talking to a man, he said, let me ask you, how much does God forgive you of your sins? 20%. Does he forgive you 50% of your sin? Does he forgive you 80% of your sin? Well, no, Brother Gabe. That would be silly. Now, we say that in the house of God, but how do we live it Wednesday afternoon? When we're on the job working and we have a memory come up. And we'll live under that memory all day and it'll keep us beat down. And we'll relive that whole thing. Maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. Let me ask you. Brother Biscoe said this to the man. He said, when God declares you righteous, how righteous are you? 20%? Are you 20% righteous? Are you 50% righteous? How about 80%? How righteous does God declare you? God declares us 100% righteous. But where we battle is in a battle of our mind, friends, trying to break our conception. The Jews had a problem with it. Because it says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of the prophet. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though man did declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath day. They could not break their idea of legalism. They had laws, and they could not take the message of being justified. What is it? The forgiveness that all men are justified. And the Jews could not understand this conception of what God would justify, because they were groomed from a child of works. Washing pots, washing cups, all these different things, something that they could do. And when Christ came and when Christ went on the scene and then it went on, and Paul and them, Peter and them, they was preaching the word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they couldn't catch it. But listen, friends, if you don't catch it, somebody will. The Gentiles said, hey, come on, bring that revival on over to our church. We'll make a spot for you. We'll make a spot for you next Sunday. Come on over. Preach that message of justification for us. We'll receive it. Somebody will receive it. But the problem of it is, friends, we have such a hard time of capturing this. Brother Branham, is this okay? Praise God. He said, a man came here not long ago and said, Brother Branham, I'm not worthy to be saved. I said, no, you're not. I love that prophet, but this does something to me. He said, no, you're not. And he started weeping. He said, I've tried since 1940 to get saved. He said, but I find myself not worthy. I said, you'll never will be worthy. He said, then I can never be saved. He said, oh, no, it isn't you.
Amen.
It's him. God don't look at you. He looks at him. Now, here's what I want you to get. Don't miss this. And if you can find any fault in him, then you can't be saved. But if there's no blemish, no fault in him, then you're all right. The blemish that you will find in him is on you. Now we can look. See, this is where legalism comes in. This is where your ideas, because watch, you may not be on the severity of this quote or the severity of what I'm saying, but many of us find fault in a way with Christianity, with unrealistic expectation of a life of a Christian. You say, well, I don't know about that, Brother Gabe. Oh, yeah. That's where legalistic ideas come from. The way someone thinks people should live. See, remember, friends, what may be sin to you may not be sin to me. That's the reason why you get somebody fresh come into the house of God and you get somebody real zealous and look at them and say, well, they ain't doing this, they ain't doing this, they ain't doing this, they ain't doing that. And you know what they'll do? That person will go right up to that person and run them straight out of the house of God. And right there is legalism. Who is the one that does the converting? Watch, that person that ran that person out is finding fault with the Word of God. Let me ask you something. Watch this, friends. Listen. Why would a married and divorced preacher or somebody that's not qualified to be a preacher stand and preach the gospel? They may be gifted like an angel, but the Bible says that they cannot preach because they have to be the husband of one wife. What do? They find fault with the Word of God. They find fault with the Word of God, and their idea becomes head and becomes supreme. Come on, somebody. Now, friend, that is an extreme of a denominational of a married and divorced preacher. But look at legalistic ideas that people have of the way they think the church ought to be ran. I'll be honest with you, friends. Here's where I get this from. Because me as Gabriel Smith, I'm very hard on myself. But I'm finding that there's no virtue in beating myself up. God don't look down from heaven, and when you're beating yourself up for 3 weeks because you did something wrong, he's not looking down going, oh, that's my boy. Look at him well on himself. God don't look down from heaven and say, oh, it is well done, my faithful, good and faithful servant. Does he? Then why do we waste countless hours doing it to ourselves? I've said this here before, and I'll say it again. When you make mistakes, why is it that we have to wait 5 business days? When we have a fault and we do something wrong and we repent, I'm talking about sincerely. I'm talking about from a pure heart, friend. Once again, I'm talking about the elect of God, the bride of Christ. I'm not talking about somebody, I'm not talking about somebody, watching pornography and, you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about from a pure heart, trying to live right, trying to do the right things, making mistakes. I'm not talking about out in the club on Saturday night and in the house of God Sunday morning. I'm not talking about being in the club Friday at night and then in the house of God Sunday. We're not talking about that. You ain't even saved. You may go to the house of God, but you ain't even saved. Praise the Lord. We'll get into that in a minute. But anyways, you may have something on the outward, but I'm talking about a deep down inside conversion. God working on you. But here's the thing, friends. People have these ideas and different things, but we and what I'm finding myself is I have got to go back to the Word of God or the message of the hour to make sure that I'm covered in my thought. It's vital for us to be under the canopy of this message. And when you live your life, this is what I'm trying to do, is filter every thought, everything that I do by the Word of God. And if I'm having a hard time forgiving myself, then that's just me. It's not God doing it. And then I can acknowledge that to God and say, Lord, I don't know why. I know I've tried to make it right. I've done all that I can, but for whatever reason. And you have to be honest with yourself. Because many times we get caught up and we're living our life as maybe Christians, but we're too focused on filtering our life through our own concept of what a Christian ought to be. You have to go back to biblical principles. You have to go back to the message of the hour. That's what it's there for. That's what the ministry is there for so that we can pull these things. That's why Brother Gage can preach a message like justification, being justified, and then we can realize where are we coming up short. Where are we filtering our life that's something that's not contrary to the Word of God? If are we free, then we're free indeed. Have we met God's requirements? Yes, all right. Okay, then you have got to get it settled in your heart and then walk accordingly. That's right. But the problem of it is many people find a blemish. They find a blemish with the church. They find a blemish with the way the pastor do something or the church that. But you have to be able to go back to the Word of God and say, whether you may have an idea or you may think a personal conviction, those things may be all right. But listen, you cannot put your convictions on somebody else. Now, obviously, if somebody's out there living filthy, then it's the Word that's convicting them. But if you have a certain conviction on something that maybe you can't find a quote or a scripture on, friend, don't try to put that on somebody else. Right. Because that's what man has always done. That's called a denomination. That's right. And people can become denominations in their own selves. It may be a one-man denomination, but it's still a one-man denomination. We have to go back to the Word of God. That's what the message is for. That's why we've got a filter. Brother Branham talked about a thinking man's filter. Notice, thinking man. And we have to filter every thought through the Word of God, through the message of the hour, to make sure we're not, because you know what it ends up being? It ends up becoming vain. You end up becoming vanity. Like that Pharisee. Oh, I fast 3 to 2 days a week. I give tithe all I got. Look all I do. Look at this man down here. What's he doing? Beating his chest. Lord, forgive me a sinner. The Bible says he went out justified. That man went out justified. What was he doing? Off in the corner beating himself. Right? So I'm not saying you don't look at yourself and beat yourself up, but to what degree do we do it? The hardest person to forgive is who? Amen. Yourself. That's right. But there is a perfect blood. And Brother Branham tells us this. Consider this. Since it's the blood of God, it's perfect blood. And if the perfect blood has loosed us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete. Skipping on down there, talking about Romans 8:33. Look at there in yellow. There is nothing to be condemned for because the blood has loosed us from sin. We are free, guiltless. Don't listen to man. Listen to the Word. You are loosed by the blood. Amen. It's perfect blood. And when he made that intercession, it was an intercession that was perfect. I love that picture of Christ laying over the earth. It's like blood's coming off of his back, you know. And that's what he did. He gave his back to the smiters. That's what he did. It was for a purpose. But if we ain't careful, we'll get wrapped up and think in Satan's ideas instead of our own. I'm at 48 minutes. Can we go just a little bit longer? We got one service. You give me, how about maybe an hour, about another half hour or something like that? That'd be all right. Thank you. Because I still got quite a bit to go through. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it'd be this long. Now this is another quote where Brother Man talks about the same terminology. Notice Rapture Message 12:4-65. There's another one. I don't know if I've got it in here or I'll get to it, but there's another one in the same thing where he's using the same kind of terminology. But he's still on this same thought. Remember, now notice this. He's speaking of the bride. He said, not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she is justified. Did you ever try the word justify and see what it means? For instance, Brother Green heard that I was been drinking, and he does the same thing. He says that he didn't find out, he didn't do it. He says the word, skipping down there to that second part of yellow, he says the word justified is though you never done it at all. Justified. And he talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now then go down to the second part where it's highlighted, and he's speaking of the bride, how she never done it in the first place. She says, never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. As a father pitieth his children. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the message. This ain't for chickens, friends. This is for eagles. When she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. And she stands there virtuously, no sin on her at all. See how we got to be reminded of this thing over and over? We all know these quotes, right? How many can honestly say, I've never heard this, you never done it before? And think so. We've all heard it before, right? How many's having a hard time believing it? Come on, somebody. Let's be honest, friends. But here's the thing. If you're having a hard time actually grasping the revelation of it, it's not God that's keeping it from you. It's not God that's trying to make it so unattainable, like the big brother hanging over the little brother going, go ahead, reach for it. Go ahead, go. All right? Huh? Well, if you had a little brother, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you got kids, I tore him. You know that scripture, fathers, provoke not your children. Oh, help me, Lord. Because I love teasing them, you know. But friends, that's not God. That's not our God that gives us a word like this and just holds it right within a... That's not the Lord doing that. You have to look and say, wait a minute. Why am I having such a hard time believing this? Because it's not me trying to pump you up. I'm not interested in pumping you up. I'm not interested in you running the aisles. I'm not interested in you getting excited. I'm interested in bringing the word to you so that you can have liberty and freedom. Just being honest with you, friends. Do I like? I love to see you run the aisles, sure, but that's not what I come here for. But here's the thing. Why do we have a hard time grasping this? Why? It may be you. Because it's not God keeping you from it. It may be Satan. That's right. Because, you know, he is an accuser of the brethren. And the Bible tells us that he accuses, brings accusation of us day and night before God. Is that right? The Bible tells us that. He's an accuser and he brings accusations. Do you know last night when you were sleeping, he was bringing accusations? He was accusing you. Maybe it's your turn. Maybe it's somebody here and he brought all kind of accusations in you. It's actually a judicial term of being accused. It means to bring before a judge to make an accusation. And so here he is, the devil. I love this. You know that devil, the Greek word diablos, it actually means false accuser or slanderer. Can I think about this, friend? Why would God name the devil a false accuser? Because he is. We put more weight in his word than we do God's word. Woo! Hello, somebody. You say, I don't believe the devil. Oh, you don't. Why do you live under that bondage of guilt then? You're listening to a false accuser. And he's falsely accusing you. In a you think about God in heaven. Here he comes in heaven, and he's got a state your name for the record. False accuser. I'm sorry, sir. That wasn't clear for the record. False accuser. Sir, we need you to state it for the record. False accuser. Now we can laugh, but what about when we get alone? What about when we make a mistake and the devil seems so powerful and so in tune? See, well, I think, friends, many times, remember this, in this hour, Satan is okay with you worshiping him, thinking you're worshiping God. And I wonder how many has a dysfunctional relationship with Satan thinking they're worshiping God. They have spousal problems. Their husband beats them. Their husband manipulates them, plays mind games, falsely accuses them. Brings accusations. Where you been? What you been doing? And people in their mind somehow think that's God. Satan's okay with you thinking that's God. Because that's the hour. Think about it, friend. It's Antichrist. That's what he is. He's the God of this evil age. Brother Branham says they worship him thinking they're worshiping God. Come on, somebody. We think, oh, the church of Satan. That's not Satan. Devil worshipers. That's not what Satan's keying in on. He's amongst our own ranks. He ain't got a pointed tail and forks and pitchfork. He's a slick. He's polished. The Bible says he's an angel of light, transformed. And he wants to bring accusations day and night. I want you to notice this. Notice what he does. It's day and night. That's the reason why the Bible tells us that we need to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And as we read there earlier, that's in Peter, and then as we read earlier, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Because we're living in a battle where Satan is buffeting us, blow after blow after blow after blow. Day and night bringing accusations. And when Brother Branham talks about this word buffet, he refers to Paul, how he had an infirmity and would buffet him blow after blow. Notice what Satan did constantly. And that's what Satan does to you. It's a constant, repetitive blow after blow after blow after. We're in a battle, friends. And what he wants to do is wear you down. Like, I'm afraid I'm thinking I'm wearing some of y'all down. You're getting tired on me. I feel like I'm losing some of you. Come on, please just bear with me just a little bit. Shake yourself, get up, get your drink of water, do something. Come on, just bear with me. Blow after blow after blow after blow, the devil would buffet him. Now notice this, Satan, and what's amazing to me when Satan would buffet a servant like Paul, what was Paul's purpose in life? To write two-thirds, the majority of the New Testament. Don't you need your eyes to write? It blew me away. I never dawned on me till I started looking at this and I thought, God would allow the enemy to attack his prophet's eyes. And Paul would have to pen two-thirds of the majority of the New Testament. Wouldn't you think we in ourselves would want our prophet to have 20/20 vision? Just in case he missed, I wouldn't want him to miss a crossing a T or dotting an I. Think of it, friends. But what was it? In Paul's weakness, God was strong. See, God's ways are past finding out. You know, when I preached this back home a couple weeks ago, and when the wife and I, kids, we as children, was pulling into the parking lot, it dawned on me. I was thinking about being justified and the three works of grace, being justified, sanctified, baptism, Holy Ghost. And I pulled in, I thought, why did he put justification first? Brother Freddie, wouldn't it be better for him to put sanctification first? I'm talking about because think about it. We as human beings, we'd actually in our own mind would put sanctification, then justification, then baptism, Holy Ghost. Or maybe sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, then justification. Because Brother Branham, he tells us, and what is justified? You never done it in the first place. In the three works of grace, Brother Branham talked about the dirty glass being in the mud, picking it up, that's justified. Still filthy. You ain't going to drink out of it. You wash it up, clean it up. Now it's clean, it's sanctified. Set aside for service. You pour the water in there. That's baptism, Holy Ghost. It's in service. Right? But God, when he says justified, it's when he picks you up. You're still filthy. You still got habits. You're still undone. But when God justifies you, he wants you to know you never done it in the first place. That's your prophet's definition of it. Amen. If you believe the message. Yes. Right. Or do you think he was made a mistake on that? Oh my. Praise the Lord. I believe he's the word prophet. And when the word prophet identifies Romans 5:1 and tells us what that word means, I believe I'm taking that to heaven. And God, why was it? You know why? Because if we had in ourselves, we would want to be sanctified and then baptism of the Holy Ghost and then justified. Because then in our minds, we could realize, all right, well, it was cleaned up. We got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now I never done it in the first place. Humanly thinking. But that's not how God thinks. The way God thinks, friend, he wants you to, when you first get picked up. Now, I want to clarify something. I hope I'm not preaching anything contrary to what you believe or teach. If I do, set aside and follow your pastor. He's ordained of God to lead you through. But to me, now listen, Brother Branham said justification, sanctification is actually an instantaneous thing. It's not 6 years being justified, Then you spend 14 years being sanctified, and then 20 years you retire to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, well, maybe some of you do believe that. But I don't believe God picks you up and makes work you through justification and then works you through sanctification, and then 20 years or 5 or 7, then you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about instantaneously, he picks you up, cleans you. I'm talking about by the Holy Spirit. Now I realize some people come that way, but that's not God's perfect will. God's perfect will is to seal you. He says, Brother Bram, when you go in that water and come back up, God will fill you right there. But the problem of it is not so much God that's making you work through. That would be some in laws to make you work 15 years or 20 years to get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That would be God making you do works to get you there. The problem of it is, the reason why maybe you spent 5 years in justification is not because God, but it was because of one thing, your will. Because God is a gentleman, and he only take you so far. You know what kills me? Some people commit adultery and then try to say that they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sorry, you're wrong. Brother Bram said, my comforter wouldn't let me do it. What he said, direct quote. You can't have the Holy Ghost and commit adultery. It's impossible. The prophet said, my comforter wouldn't let me do it. He was talking about if he'd go overseas, cheat on meaty. Right. That's exactly right, friends. But people have misconceptions. Oh, brother, I felt the power of God on me, and I ran, and I spoke in tongues, and I shouted, and boy, I was on fire for 6 weeks. Your flesh was on fire for 6 weeks. But you still had a problem with your soul, your will, self-will. You would only let God go so far for an outward anointing. But I'm talking about somebody that genuinely dies out to self and God seals them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a instantaneous, that's the perfect will of God. Study the book of Acts if you don't believe me. But anyway, right. That's right. While Peter yet spake these words, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. That's exactly right. But we're living in this battle where we're constantly battling and being buffeted and attacked by the enemy. And the Bible tells us that when we're buffeted for our faults, you take it patiently. But it's when you're doing right and you suffer for it, you take it patiently. That's acceptable to God. Oh, man. Let's just move on here. When we're talking about being justified, it's not us looking at ourselves, but it's actually looking to Christ. In Isaiah 53:10, it said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and by shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify. He didn't say all, he said many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Not got time to look at Isaiah 53, but I believe Isaiah is a wonderful scripture for us as Christians to look at. If you read Isaiah 53, God actually refers to iniquities more than he does sin. Praise the Lord. Read it when you get a chance. But you can't read it when you're looking in the rearview mirror. That's why we have all kind of wrecks. Because we're always looking back. Always looking back at what we did. Oh, I made all these. Well, you know what? That's fine. But you know what? Listen. Which one's greater? Your mistakes or the blood of Christ? Praise the Lord. I'm trying to hurry. The Bible tells us, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, it's God that justifies. That's exactly right. Now, this is kind of neat here. I thought this is kind of new as far as the world that we live in. There's something new that's not new. It's actually 1984, I think, that came out recently in 1984. That man right there, Sir Alec Jeffries. And he came up with a technology called DNA fingerprinting, that when somebody would do something wrong, commit a crime, they could actually go back to the scene of the crime and extract a DNA and pinpoint who was at the scene. And by that technology, there was actually people that were in jail that got set free. Because there was a technology that there was a process where they could go back to the scene of the crime and by the technology extracting DNA. See, we can go back to the scene of the crime in our mind and we'll be guilty because there is a reasonable doubt. Remember, when you go to a court of law and you're forgiven, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So there could be some evidence, but just not enough evidence to convict you. And so you could have done it so that you could go free, but you really done it. But then there are some cases through DNA technology where it can actually prove you wasn't at the scene of the crime. Then you could go free because you wasn't there in the first place. And when you confess your sin and it goes the blood of Jesus Christ, the DNA, when the enemy takes the sample, it's not your DNA there. It's God's DNA. He's innocent. Amen. It goes back on the enemy. Brother Bam tells this, if you've got red spot on your hand and cover it white, red spot is still there. It's still there. God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. It was the blood of his own son. When our confessing goes into God's bleach, try to find it again. The coloring of sin goes back to the meat, beyond through the meat air, down through the time until it hits the accuser, Satan, and lays on him till the day of judgment. What happens to the son? He becomes in perfect fellowship again with the father again, standing on the other side of the chasm with no remembrance of sin against him. A man or woman that's been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, it kills all symptoms and every molecule. Have the devil go back to the scene of a crime and try to pick it up. They could come in all kind of special suits and take every bit of sampling that they examine the whole scene. Every molecule of sin goes back to the devil and laid on him to the day of judgment, where his eternal destination will be thrown into the lake of fire. The chasm is bridged, never to come into remembrance no more. And a man says, justify the Son of God's simplicity. Do you know? We can amen it, but I wonder, blow after blow after blow, we don't get beat down to just a sinner's prayer. How many times have we got re-justified? How many times have we been saved? How many times have we failed, made a mistake, we had to go get re-saved and go talk to the pastor and get our... How many times did we have to go to that spot where we, well, okay, now we're good. But a sinner's prayer, friend, can only go so far. And Satan knows it. Satan knows if he can keep us so beat down till we're just, well, we're not, well, you know, I know we're sons of God, but oh, I got so many mistakes. And, well, I'm least in the kingdom of God. Beating yourself up is not humility. Selling yourself is not being a humble Christian, friends. I'm not talking about cockiness. I know some people, you know, I'm the bride. I'm not talking about that. There's, once again, it's a balance. I've seen some people in message just so prideful that they're the bride of Christ. You know, I'm not talking about that, friends. I'm talking about quiet humility, quiet confidence that you know you've passed from death unto life. Things are settled, and though you make mistakes, but then how are we going to have a sinner's prayer and make a rapture? How can we do it if we're just, you know, barely getting by? We've got to climb higher in our prayer life to have a confidence that when we approach Him, we know that He hears us. That it's not just a sinner's prayer. That it's not just But the problem of it is we get this, we get all this baggage, and we get locked up in our mind. We may be free from sin, but we're still in the prison of our mind or our past or what we're doing or what we're going through. But listen, friends, God is not here to hold all that against you. You know, the thoughts that you go through, those things ain't even accounted to you. But the Bible tells us, they that feared the Lord and spake often one to the Lord hearkened and heard it. You know what He writes down? He don't write down your mistakes. He don't write down your failures. You know what He writes down? The Bible says there's a book written. The book was written for them, just those that feared Him and that thought upon Him and spoke of Him. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. It wasn't just on Sundays. It wasn't just on Wednesdays when they had time. When they spake often one to another, the Lord heard it, hearkened. And He said, let's write a book about this. See, we think God is against us. But if you just think about it, He writes it down. It's the Word of God. But if we ain't careful, you say, Brother Gabe, it's your mind, friends. You cannot do it with your mind. It takes God's word. We have to think with the mind of Christ. We have to think with the mind of Christ because your mind makes your character. And if we have the mind of Christ, it's not a sinner's prayer. It's not barely making it. He knew who He was. He knew His position, His purpose. That's exactly right. And I'm going to end with this right here. The Bible tells us, friends, by your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake. And will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Notice this. Let us plead together. I don't have this written. Can we all just turn in our Bibles? I want you to see this. Isaiah 43:25. This is powerful. Here's another one where He tells us He won't remember our sins. He said, Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for your sake. He says, for mine own sake. And will not remember your sins. But put me in remembrance. Don't put your sins in remembrance. Put me in remembrance and let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Notice what he said. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. What's he saying, friends? The church will fail. But he's saying your first father sinned, but your original father, he didn't. Amen. Notice, put him in remembrance. And he's telling us, let's plead together. In other words, he says he already justified us, right? But you have to, listen, the Bible says, we believe also, therefore we will speak. You have to believe this, friends. You have to speak this. You have to say, I am justified. You say, Brother Gabe, I don't have the Holy Ghost. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Get to first base first. I am justified. What? Why would God put that first? Because he realizes you can't move any farther into anything else of God until you realize, I never done it in the first place. It's not my fault. That's what happens, friends, when we go through things in life. That's how predators will trap children, because they will actually convince that child it's their fault. And that's how the enemy does it. He convinces you it's your fault. But God's here to tell you, never done it in the first place. Life was bigger than you. You know, we want to control it. We want to do it all ourselves. But he says, no. Listen, first, I want you to realize you never done it in the first place. Don't worry about cleaning up. Don't worry about cutting your hair. Don't worry about the dresses. Don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about works. Don't try to quit that alcohol. Don't worry about laying them cigarettes down. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. First, get to this. You've never done it in the first place. I want to ask you, who would not want to be a Christian with that type of Christianity, that type of religion, that type of an experience? But see how man gets in and they bypass it, and they put all the do's and don'ts and all these things, and it's never attainable. But God does not work that way. God wants you to realize you never done it in the first place. Then when we get to there, then he can start working with us. Once we get that grounded. But if you're still, I don't care how long you've been in it, friends, but I want to ask you, how many of us can say in the sincerity of our heart that we really have a revelation of being justified? I'm not saying you're not, but I'm saying, see, and I believe this, friends, I can believe we can be sealed, but then we can still labor in our own ideas and filtering it through our own. We still have to deal with this. We're still, and I'm not trying to take away your salvation, your election. I'm just saying, many times we go through life, that's why we needed a message. That's why we needed this, to bring a clearing to it. So it's not just, this ain't just Brother Grabe interpreting the scriptures to you. I'm showing you a biblical principle that goes through the message and through the Bible through and through. It's not my thought. It's God's thought. It's God's word. And he wants us to be free. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to rejoice and have freedom and liberty. You make a mistake, all right, repent, go on. Okay, no problem. He's not here to hold it against you. Remember, he don't justify you, then get sealed in the Holy Ghost, then the justification goes away, and then it's just legalism, do's and don'ts, and you make a mistake, I'm going to bust you in the head. Oh, no, no. At the very beginning, he wants us to know you've never done it in the first place. It's not your fault. You were trapped into it. Don't worry about it. You're not going to pay for that. Hell wasn't even created for you, little bride. It was created for the devil and his angels. You wasn't made for hell. You wasn't destined to hell. Yeah, I didn't even make it for you. Preachers make hell like it's just for us. No. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Amen. Brother Branham said this, young people, listen, little young one, I know I've kept you a long time. Remember this. Listen, you have to fight your way to hell. Hell is not easy to go to. It's not easy. It's not easy to go to hell. Praise God. Hell was not created for you. Hell's not something God holds over your head. No, it's under your feet. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe this. As we stand, it's important that you have to confess you're justified. I can preach it to you all day long, but you have to believe and therefore speak. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's out of the abundance of your heart that you can really deep down and say, I got mistakes, yeah, but I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we have that blood and we have it applied to us, you know what? We can do anything we want to. Praise the Lord. That's right. And we'll always do those things that are pleasing unto the Father. Praise God. We'll always look to Him. We'll always seek Him. We'll always, I mean, we may make mistakes, but I'm talking, we're humanity, but that's the power of the blood of Christ. Brother Bram said, if we're going wrong, He'll give us a Macedonian call. He'll get us back on the right track. Why? Because your name was put there before the world ever was. How many believes God's bigger than your mistakes? How many believes God's bigger than what you're going through? He's bigger than that, right? He holds the world in His hands, for the universe. If we can just believe it. Amen. As we bow our heads and maybe have the musicians come, how many has a need? Amen. Let's just hold it in our hearts. Precious Lord, God, we do love You, and thank You, Lord, for Your grace, Your mercy, Your love and truth. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would be the answerer, Lord, of the requests under each hand and each heart. Lord, just a simple little thought, but how profound it is when we really grasp what it means. God, I pray that, Lord, if we would have a deeper revelation, Lord, of what this simple thought is. Lord, and that we would really grasp it, Lord, to the depth that it's been given to us. Lord, not my preaching, not just this message, Lord, but Your word, Your plan, Your purpose. God, I pray that as the enemy would come in like a flood, maybe even today or while we're speaking, that Your standard would be raised, Lord, and Lord, that banner would be love. God, we truly do need You. We look to You. We cherish, Lord, Your word. God, I pray that You'd give us the ability to fight off the enemy, the tactics of Satan and his wiles, Lord. God, we have so many thoughts, Lord, that's maybe not so much sin, but just the world in itself and humanity and life that begin to cloud and come in and take preeminence. But, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would give us the ability to push those things back. Lord, and as Your scripture said, if there be any virtue, Lord, if there be any praise, God, that we would filter our every thought, our every action, Lord, through Your word and make sure that we're fortified behind it. God, our every move, Lord, would be with that reverence and a godly fear and respect. Lord, wanting to be pleasing in Your eyes, and
Lord, we're grateful for your life and not wanting to do anything within ourselves, Lord. But we pray that your promises would be yea and amen in our lives as individuals. Lord, as you deal with us on our job and at home and maybe throughout the day, I pray, Lord, that this little thought would be lodged in our heart when the enemy comes. Lord, that we would have the ammunition, Lord, and the machinery and the artillery to fight the enemy. God, that we could drive him back, Lord, and tell him where his place is. Lord, remind him of those things that have done and transpired, Lord, is all laid on his account, on his charge. We truly believe that, Lord. We pray that you would help our unbelief. We commit all these things into your hands. We love you and we praise you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to, Lord, rightly divide your word of truth. We love you and we give you praise. We ask these things to be so in the name that's above every name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's happy to be justified. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Want to Live the Way He Wants Me to Live. Y'all know that song? Yeah. Brother Dave, if you'll come. I want to live the way He wants me to live.
I want to
give.
Round of applause, saints.
Amen.
Amen. How many thoroughly enjoyed that? Amen. How many can see another stance on justification? Amen. Just amazing to see the fatherly love that God has given to us. No matter what stage you're at, God's told you today He loves you. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. 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 If anybody would still desire prayer, need something from the Lord, amen. I'm sure brother he would pray with you. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, When I Think About the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is another thing, too. When you think about it, God's putting remembrance of all your good things. He doesn't remember your bad things because you can't remember them. They're gone. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Amen. But just sing that song, When I Think About the Lord.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He built me. With the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord and how He paid.
Song, You Deserve the Glory. Let's give God all the glory today that we can, saints.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, as we deserve the glory, oh, and the honor, oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship, oh, as we glorify your name, for you. Deserve the glory, oh, all the glory.
Clear, amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Thank God I Am Free. How many are glad they're free today, amen? Free from sin and death, free from everything that the devil's tried to put back on you. It's going back on him, amen. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin, I sank low. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again.
found for